Welcome, weary travelers, to the great big universe of XS.
Scanners detecting more trouble in Sector 9. No doubt it's the work of that nefarious criminal, the sworn enemy of the Galactic Alliance, the evil Emperor Zurg.
Now is the time, now is the best time, now is the best time of your life.
Attention, please. Eastern Airlines Flight 19, your holiday cruise to the emerald beauty of a Puerto Rican rainforest, now ready for departure.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we'll be on the ground soon. Everything's all right now, but that was a close call. Actually, the chances are a million to one against meeting another emergency like that. So please fly with us another time.
Enough explaining. Hit the switch, baby.
We're almost ready to go. Just a few last-minute details.
You know, this thing looked a lot safer in the blueprints, bud.
It's perfectly safe. You have absolutely nothing to worry about.
Raising neutrino shield.
WDW Radio. Your information station.
This week, we're going back to one of my favorite kinds of episodes because it's all about you. I'm going to open up the inbox and answer your questions along with Becky Mankin from Mouse Fan Travel about the Disney parks, dining, cruises, and more, from the best food at Disneyland to how to spend a solo day at Walt Disney World. I'll also share and reveal a hidden tribute in Journey into Imagination, and even which Disney Cruise Line ship ranks number one. Spoiler alert, we don't agree. Plus, I introduce something new to the show, a rapid-fire round of Disney Would You Rather questions that you can answer as well. And I've got a very special announcement about the Disney Destiny, why I'm heading to Germany this week, and an experience that I can't wait to take you along for. Hello, my friend, and welcome to WDW Radio, your guide to the Disney parks, movies, and experiences around the world. I am Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 839. And whether this is your first time here, welcome, or you've been with me since the very beginning, welcome back, because for more than 20 years, I've been able to share my love of Disney through the podcast, my weekly live video every Wednesday night, events, cruises, and the incredible community which you have helped create. I am so grateful that you're here, because you are not just a listener, you are my friend and part of our WDW Radio family. A couple of quick things before we dive in. Please join the community and conversation over in the clubhouse at wdwradio.com/clubhouse. Join me this and every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Facebook and YouTube. And to make sure you don't miss a thing and get exclusive information and updates, please subscribe to my free weekly email newsletter. And when you do, you get a free gift over at wdwradio.com/newsletter. And if you are a creator or solopreneur or want to be one, please join me this October in Walt Disney World for my Momentum Weekend Workshop, a four-day, one-room, 50-person event to help you build real momentum via hands-on workshops in your business and brand. You can see a full speaker and session list and get your tickets over at loumangiello.com/momentum. Take advantage of our early bird special. It ends soon. And don't wait, because we only have about 12 seats left. And if you want to bring a little bit of Disney magic to your next event, brand, team, or conference, I am a keynote speaker on storytelling, customer experience and service, and creating memorable moments inspired by the Disney parks and leadership lessons from Walt. Again, you can learn more over at loumangiello.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show and you feel better because of it. And if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please rate, review, and more importantly, share it with a friend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Welcome, my friend, to the virtual WDW Radio table or couch or wherever you are most comfortable, whether you are walking through the parks, counting down to your next trip, planning your next meal, or just wishing you were back on Main Street, USA. Speaking from personal experience, this show, and specifically this episode, is for you because it's going to be by you and your questions. And for more than 20 years and 830 whatever episodes so far, WDW Radio has not been just about the podcast. It is a conversation, community, and a shared journey. And today, I get to share this episode with someone who's been part of that journey almost since the very beginning. She's not just a friend, she's family. She's been on our adventures, cruises, and countless shows with me over the years. She is the Dory to my Marlin, the Vanellope to my Ralph, the She-Hulk to my Daredevil and the Roz to my Mike Wazowski. She's not always watching or listening, but you get the idea. She is my trusted travel buddy, the enabler of dreams, and official partner in magic. She is Becky Mankin from MEI and Mouse Fan Travel.
You have no idea how excited I am to do an email show because it's been so long, and I can just imagine that the bin is overflowing.
It is. It is.
And I like the vanilla to the Ralph, by the way. I just want to...
You what?
I just want to say that. I like the Vanellope to the Ralph. I like that one.
I can dig down deeper through that one and why they may or may not be applicable. But, you know, look, we talk a lot about making the most of our time in the parks and vacations and memories. And I don't recommend things on the show or services or products very lightly. But just a quick little plug at the very beginning. Mouse Fan Travel, you specifically, Becky, and your travel advisors have helped not just me, but literally thousands of friends in our community plan their trips with incredible care and expertise. And yes, a little bit of extra magic as well. So thank you for that. And thank you for being here. And today we're going to answer some of those questions, share some of those stories, and hopefully make you, our friend, the listener who's sitting with us, your next adventure even more incredible. And Becky, as you know, when I open up the inbox, much to your chagrin, I do not send these to you in advance. And do you want to know why? Because I don't read them in advance.
I know. That's the scary part, is we have no idea if this is going to be something from like 2006.
No. They're all I mean, look, when I say that I'm far back, it's not that far back. But I always, you know, as I do a quick skim, I make sure that they are timely and relevant. But today we're going to try something different because I do want to try and get through a lot. So as I skim through the inbox and sort of parenthetically reach my hand in the mailbag, I'm going to choose short ones. I'm going to choose ones that at least come in looking like they're short. And then I have a surprise for you.
No.
After the emails.
That always scares the bejesus out of me.
All right. So listen, we're going for speed. We're going for efficacy and efficiency and quality and value in the answers. So let's go.
Go.
This one starts off one day, one person in Walt Disney World. What are my options? Hey, Lou, not Becky. I've been listening to your podcast for a number of years now. It says
That's
not
new.
Becky.
Okay. I'm not on this one. I'm just getting mute for a second.
It doesn't say not Becky, but because it doesn't say Becky, I said not Becky. Okay. I have a conference in Orlando the first week in December with no family, and all I have is one day by myself to visit Walt Disney World. As an adult, I haven't been to Disney in 10 years. Not sure what to see in one day. Should I go to Magic Kingdom? Should I park hop to Epcot to see only a few attractions? I don't need to do the kiddie ride and such, but by myself, I don't have to wait for others. We'd love to hear your thoughts and or itinerary. Thanks so much. And that comes from Harris Bloom. Becky, you are my guest. You are my friend. And chivalry is not dead. I still believe in ladies first. Go.
Okay. So that's a really loaded question because I think I need more information to be able to make a really, really good calculated recommendation here. But personally, because I travel to the Disney parks by myself quite a lot, I kind of like to be able to go to rediscover my inner child sometimes. And so I will go to Magic Kingdom and I will, he said he doesn't like the kiddie rides, but that's okay. There's a lot of rides that aren't the kiddie
Neither
rides.
Neither does Becky. Don't worry.
I like Peter Pan and others. I just don't like waiting the lines for them, to be quite honest.
But I like kiddie rides just without the kids.
it took you 3.2 seconds to go to the kids' line. But it's for me, if I'm going to rediscover Disney and just kind of have a day in Disney, it is the Magic Kingdom to me. Although there's a lot to be said for going to Epcot as well. So now that it's pretty much finished, the walls are down, there's all kinds of new things to see. I would love to know from him, when was the last time he was there, how much time he has, and the last time he was there helps because then you know what he may not have seen, so he's got the time to go discover them. So maybe if there's time, do the park hop between the two, between Magic Kingdom and Epcot, get the best of both worlds in that one day.
Okay, so first things first, you cannot go wrong. I think solo days are fun. They are flexible. Mm-hmm. I you know, like you, Becky, I often travel a lot to the park solo, whether it's for quote unquote research or whatever it might be. And I think you're going at a great time of year too. You're going in December. There's lower crowds, relatively cooler temps. And more importantly, you've got that fun, decorated holiday atmosphere. And I think you have to go in asking yourself, what kind of experience do I want? Do I want the classic nostalgia? Do I want thrill rides? Is it just food and drinks, or is a little bit of a mix of all? I agree. I think Magic Kingdom, if you haven't been in a decade plus and you want that classic quote unquote Disney feel, I think the holiday decorations and the iconic attractions makes this a very easy choice and a win. So I would prioritize, if it was me and I hadn't been in that long, I would prioritize the classic attractions. I would do Mansion, Pirates, mm-hmm. Thunder, Jungle Cruise, which is now going to be the Jingle Cruise. So you get the holiday overlay and maybe hit Seven Dwarfs or Tron with a lightning lane or virtual queue. So you get a little bit of the thrill. And I really like this one because I also think it's a park that you can, as a solo traveler, you can take in slowly, you can wander, because I think it feels the most magical solo. That being said, I think Epcot is a great opportunity if you want to go, if food is your focus,
right?
And it should be. It's a great sort of space to explore. You can just sort of very leisurely wander your way through Epcot. You obviously have to hit Guardian, so you get that thrill factor. If you haven't been in a long time, I would say that's probably the one thing that you have to do. But I think World Showcase is just so perfect if you want to stroll and sip and snack and drink. And also you get the holiday storytellers and the holiday traditions from around the world. You will probably be there during the festival of the holidays, so you have those little extra bits of small bites and entertainment. So if I was designing a plan for you, maybe you hit Magic Kingdom, rope drop some of the big attractions, hop over to Epcot for, you know, maybe after lunch. This way you get the thrills and the nostalgia in the morning, and you chill the thrills in the morning, the chills at night, literally and figuratively. Definitely look into things like lightning lanes and mobile ordering snacks. Mm-hmm. Or meals is also going to save you some time. But I think even though your time is limited, don't rush. Don't rush. Take it all in. Close your eyes. Listen to the music. Listen to the people. Explore. Dine and do what you want. And maybe, just maybe, if you're feeling like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you end your night, late night, at a lounge, or whether it's in the parks or out of the parks as well.
Or at the kiosk in France where you can get the frozen hot chocolate drink that they bring around during the holidays. Yum.
There's that too.
Yum.
There you go. Holidays. There's no bad way to do that. So, all right.
I agree.
Next, first trip, what to eat is the subject line. Hi, Lou. I think she also meant, and Becky, she just put it in there. So in October, I'm taking my partner to his first trip to Disneyland, which we were just in. He grew up in Florida visiting Walt Disney World. So I was wondering what suggestions you have for showing him the differences between the parks, like which rides are a must do. More importantly, I like this, where should we eat? He's always going on about how Epcot is the only park with good food. And I want to show them that Disneyland can have just as good a food. That comes from Mackenzie Shack. Becky, this is timely. We, hours ago, just came home from our second WDW Radio Adventures by Disney, which ended off in Disneyland. And we commented more than once just about how good the food is.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say, dare. Maybe even better the food is in Disneyland.
Including the churros. That's if you make one stop, just grab a churro and then go to the Blue Bayou.
And a corn dog. That's two stops, but that's fine.
And the chimichanga. And yeah, keep going.
Yeah, this is not a listing of all things. Okay, so basically, if somebody's going to Disneyland for the first time, what are the things, what are sort of those key points or places or things he has to do or see to show the difference between the two parks? This is very difficult. We don't know how much time they're going to be there, etc. But how do we sort of showcase What makes Disneyland special?
One of the first ones, and I wasn't kidding when I said Blue Bayou, because it is one of those attractions that is so classic because it's inside of a Pirates of the Caribbean, or the pirate boats go past it, but it's set in that nighttime atmosphere. So you have great food and a wonderful themed atmosphere. And I think that that really kind of sings to Disneyland as well, because it's classic. It's been there forever and it's gorgeous. That would be my first one. So I'll let you keep going. We'll just bounce back and forth because I know that we have several between the two of us.
I'm going to try and go super fast and just very quickly brain jump. Start on Main Street, USA. It's where it all began. It's where Disneyland begins. It's a slower pace. It's a charming scale. You now have Walt Disney A Magical Life. You've got the Sherman Brothers tribute in the cinema. You can take a look at what really was Walt's apartment. Sort of take in the history and the importance that that street
represents. I was totally only focusing on food for some reason. I don't know why.
Because obviously Becky's hungry.
Clearly.
I think that you can, I would definitely show some of the attractions that, I don't want to say better, but are different than Walt Disney World. Go see Indy. Go compare how Pirates is, in many people's opinions, it's longer. It's more detailed. It has an extra scene. Some people might argue that it's better. You're going in October, so Haunted Mansion is going to have the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay,
yes,
which even if you're not a fan of the movie, is super cool. Space Mountain is different, right? You've got that side-by-side seating. You've got the classic Matterhorn bobsleds, Mr. Toad's, Becky's favorite attraction, the Storybook Land canal boats. There's so much in Fantasyland that's charming and whimsical and uniquely Disneyland.
Or even out front of Small World. I mean, that is one of the really cool facades in the entire area, which is amazing. But if you step away from Disneyland and even look at California Adventure, which is completely different than you have in over in World, which there you have one of my favorite lands ever, the Cars Land, where you are literally walking into the movie. So with that, then you get the cozy cone. So I'm attaching that to the meal thing that I was so focused on because, yes, I am hungry. I haven't had dinner yet. So there is all of that. And the Pixar Pier, which is something that's unique, and World of Color. So there's those elements, too, that are completely unique to the Disneyland Resort area that really kind of tell the story of the Disneyland Resort and it's the unique properties of that entertainment value, which is really amazing.
So again, we could spend an entire episode answering this question, but this is why you went there. He says he's always going on about how Epcot is the only park with good food. Look, I think Disneyland can very much, Disneyland like alone, and then if you combine DCA, can very much compete with Epcot in terms of food. I'll give you some of the classic classics and new classics. Again, top of mind. Go to the Plaza Inn. Becky, we went there for breakfast. We didn't go there for dinner. Go there for the iconic, nostalgic, and delicious fried chicken. Go to the Carnation Cafe, which has that classic Walt comfort food with the Main Street view, the Red Rose Tavern, even in Fantasyland, I really have come to like on my last couple of trips. You stop at the Jolly Holiday Cafe, you get a little nosh, a little soup, a little sandwich, a little macaron, and you've got that view of Main Street and the hub, Blue Bayou. You can dine inside Pirates, incredibly atmospheric, really one of, I think, the first, arguably, truly themed restaurants in any Disney park. And we just had a meal in Lamplight, which has very cool theming, killer lobster nachos, beautiful views, and then really sort of bring it back to Walt and nostalgia. Go over to Carthay Circle. It's a little bit of elevated dining with that golden age Hollywood elegance. And if you want to sort of win him over, and I think Disneyland will do it on its own. Remember, Disneyland's not trying to be Epcot, right? It's not trying to compete. It's charming and it's intimate and it's got that history. And I love, like you said, Becky, how you can park hop so easily between the two. And I would look at it not as, I think so many people, Becky, are they're so consumed with comparing and contrasting Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Appreciate Disneyland for only what it can offer.
Which it offers a lot. That's one of the great things about the Disneyland Resort is it is so compact because you can easily go from your hotel resort, walk over to one park, go right into Downtown Disney, go back over into Disneyland, have lunch somewhere else. The whole thing is so walkable, easy to get around. If the line is too long at Guardians of the Galaxy at DCA, you can walk across, ride something else, and walk right back. I love the fact that it has that walkability factor and that you can go pretty much anywhere that you need to go or want to go the same exact day. You don't have to run out, spend 20 minutes to wait for a bus, get on the bus, go 20 minutes to get to somewhere else. It's all right there.
Yeah, you're going to get like 80,000 steps in a day. So eat whatever you want because you're going to walk it off. At least that's my logic. All right. Sajal Patel from the United Kingdom is also asking about Disneyland and food and says, and this is why I picked it, not just because it's from the UK. Hey, Lou. And of course, hopefully Becky with a question mark. I'm reading it as it's written.
My heart.
Well, let me read it as it's written. And of course, hopefully Becky. I'm heading to Disneyland, California this August. Cue the excitement and the timeliness. Would love some expert advice on which dining reservation to book. I just listened to episode 447 twice because obviously I need to be fully prepared for the snack adventure ahead. And I've already made a list of my must-try treats. But if you could pick just one, Becky, special dining reservation inside either park, whether it's casual or fancy, what would it be? We've already hit some of your favorites at World, like Nomad Lounge, Three Bridges, and the Boathouse, which are all amazing, by the way, she says. So we totally trust your recommendation. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much for always sharing your Disney wisdom. So one special dining reservation inside either park.
One?
One.
That's totally not fair.
Well, a fair is something you take your kids to, so life isn't fair. Get used to it. Move on.
All right. I'm going to go. Wow. I can't do that because I can't do that either. Totally aside of what we just said on the last one, I am going to go back again to Blue Bayou. I'm going to do it because it really is the atmosphere and it's classic and the food is good. If you like that kind of food, it just has everything that you would want to experience in a theme park dining destination. But the boat's going by and I just love that feeling and I love the atmosphere. And if I had to go to one, that would be the place I'd go. Or maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you want the classic Disneyland experience, Blue Bayou is it. However, I'm going to give you the lawyer answer because I can. I'll also go back to Carthay because I think we haven't been there for an actual meal in a long time. We usually go like to the lounge, but I love that old Hollywood. I mean, the ambiance in there is stunning, especially if you go upstairs. It's a little bit more upscale. I think it's very iconic.
A little classy.
Yeah. But, you know, I was looking at where you said you ate in Walt Disney World, Nomad Lounge, Three Bridges, and the Boathouse. And based on the places that you went, I'm going to get a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs here. Based on your style, I could actually make an argument, follow me around the room with this, for Lamplight Lounge. It's relaxed. It's a little stylish. It's got great food if you eat upstairs. Great drinks. Incredible view. Cool theming with Pixar. And if you go at just the right time of night, whether you go either for golden hour or if you go late at night and you get a spot by the water, by the window, you also get an incredible view of World of Color as well. I think Lamplight sometimes is an overlooked, relatively new, not so hidden gem in Disney California Adventure. I got to give a pro tip. I want to give a pro tip before you possibly give the pro tip. if reservations, and they can be, whether it's for any of these restaurants, are tough to get, use the walk-up wait list on the Disneyland app. It works surprisingly well at Lamplight. Cafe Orleans, somebody said. It also works really, really well. If you can't get a resi, I love the fact that they have the walk-up wait list on the app.
See, and Cafe Orleans was the one I was going to mention because the Monte Cristo sandwich is amazing. You just get one and share it with two people because it's so rich and so good. I love that place. And it has that same atmosphere touch to it. But the pro tip that I was going to give is at Lamplight Lounge, they have a secret drink menu. It's awesome. It's because the theming of the beverages are right on target. And they're colorful and they're playful and it's really cool to go up to. You don't have to go down to the dining place.
You don't even know why I'm laughing.
Why? You can go up. What?
We were just talking about this because.
That how are you abusing you have yourself
your,
so much?
You have your own secret drink menu because we need to I have to somehow record this or share this. This has to be a contest prize. Come and dine with Becky. Because when Becky goes to eat, it doesn't matter really what's on the menu because she's so it's like when Harry met Sally, and when you order a drink, it's even more because you'll be like, In addition to just asking for the kids meal, I know this is a steak with potatoes, but instead of steak, can I have chicken? Instead of chicken, can I? But when you order a drink, you're like, I want this, but not really this. I want it sweeter, but basically nothing that's on the menu or in the description of the ingredients. Just give me a large glass of simple syrup. And if you can sprinkle a little bit of alcohol on top, that would be perfect.
Fair point. I won't argue that too much, however.
It's a 37-minute order. I know that I'll have time to dissect the menu while Becky's ordering a cocktail.
Anyway, that's where you went. That's the immediate – now I'm crying. I am laughing so hard I'm crying. That's so bad. So, yes, that's me, and I'll own it for 3 seconds and then till I won't. But the secret drink menu is incredibly cool. You just look it up. Google it, pull it up. There's four drinks that are really amazing, including the pinwheel, which is really cool. The Ferris wheel, pinwheel, whatever it's called. It's really good. It's colorful. It's yummy.
Ferris wheel. The ride that Becky will never actually, the attraction
no,
Becky will never
there's actually no ride. Way I will go on that. That is the challenge. Who will go on the Ferris wheel there that has the swinging, tipping cars, which is...
What did you call it? Mickey's Ferris Wheel of Death? You have a very dramatic interpretation of what it says on
something like that. The guide map. Last but not least, on Lamplight Lounge, you don't have to go down to eat in the actual restaurant or down, down where the bar is. You can actually, there's a bar area upstairs. If you just want to go up there, have the beautiful view, have a great cocktail before you move on to your day. It's a great place to hang out.
And or last thing I'll say about it. If you have a large party up to 7 to 12 people, and if it's available, and it's become a very, very, very hard ticket to get.
So hard to get.
See if you can get the secret room that has the secret entrance with the secret code to get into the secret menu, but it's super awesome. Let's move on. All right. You're going to like this one. Oh.
If you get in, buy a lotto ticket.
Levi Schreck says, hi, Lou and Becky, with an exclamation point.
Yes.
This is very quick. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. I would like you each to rank in order of favorites all of the Disney cruise ship. In all capital letters, he screams, he exclaims, Lou, no lawyer answers. No ties are allowed, and you must rank each ship first at least, first 1 to 6, no ties. Go. Levi, very demanding. No ties, go. Basically, Levi yelled at me and said, we have to rank all of the Disney Cruise Line ships in order of favorites. Don't think about it. Just let it go. Just boom. So you're going basically worst to first.
Yeah. Oh, worst to first. Right. That way. The other direction. All right. So then I'm going to say Wish is the worst to me. Wish.
Don't say worst. Say least favorite.
Okay, least favorite. Well, you're the one that said worst. It wasn't me. It was you. It's your fault.
Levi, I'm going by what Levi's telling me to do. I'm very scared.
Got it. Okay, so I'm going to go least favorite is the Wish. Followed by probably the Dream. Then next up the line would be the Magic, then the Fantasy, then the Wonder. Oh, shoot.
There's also the treasure in there, too.
I was going to say I missed the treasure. So I would probably put treasure after the dream.
Wow.
What?
Fascinating.
No,
I'm not judging you. I mean, internally I am, but that's fine.
I know, but it's like, so my favorite's the one, I got to go the other direction. That's the problem. The wonder's my favorite, followed by the fantasy. Then probably the treasure. Then the magic. Then the dream. Oh, sorry, then the, yeah, then the dream. And then the wish, right? Do I have them all?
Sure.
Yep, I do. Because we haven't been on the Destiny or the Adventure yet, so because they're not here yet.
So, Levi, thank you for the email. And wow, man, coming in hot. And no lawyer answers. You're killing me, Smalls, but I will follow. I will challenge accepted.
And you need to go first. That's not fair either.
Of course. Well, what do you mean it's not fair? I'm trying to be courteous.
Great.
So this is hard because I love them all for different reasons, right? We always sort of fall in love with the ship that we are on last. Quickly, I'll try and do this very quickly without too much sort of exposition. I will say that the wish would come in sixth. It's just I'm still sort of warming up to certain elements of that ship, which I know is a mirror of the treasure, but you'll be surprised with my treasure. So, God, I hate sort of having to rank them this way. So maybe it's in descending order, it's wish. Man, I hate to put the dream here because the dream is that great blend of size and style and that sweet spot between classic and modern.
Yeah, fantasy was done so much better, though, in its in its theming.
I'm having a very tough time. I know which one I need to put here, but I'm having a very tough time doing it. And it's only because I have to. I love, love, love. Do not misinterpret this. I love the OG, nostalgic, intimate, smaller feel and cozy vibe of the Disney Magic. I do. I love that ship a lot. I could make an argument to swap Magic and Fantasy here as 4 and 3. Because fantasy is, wait a second, you had your chance, woman. Just calm down. No, I think I love the fantasy because, right, it is an updated version of the dream. It's got that classic elegance. It's got the longer itineraries. It's got amazing adult areas. Mm-hmm. I dig the flow of the ship. So, yeah, so maybe I'll put wish, dream, magic, fantasy. This is harder than I thought it would be. Because I didn't necessarily love the layout and design of the wish, but man, oh man, do I love the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, dog, do I love the treasure. I think some of the storytelling areas on the treasure are absolutely fantastic. The entertainment on the treasure, that alone, like, it's fighting for the number one spot. But man, I think I have to put wonder number one. I dig the smaller size. Mm-hmm. I dig the classic layout. I dig the theming of the spaces. I'm still a promenade lounge kind of guy. Give me Tiana's. Give me the Alaska itinerary. Give me the Disney wonder at the number one spot.
And I agree with you. That was the first one that I knew that was going to be number one. I love the intimacy, the feel, the small feel, but you still have all of those wonderful spaces to hang out in. And it's easy to get around the ship. And it doesn't have, 4,000 people on board. And you have I just love the way that the originals were designed. The flow was amazing and they're in such great shape for being as old as they are. Disney does such a great job of keeping the upkeep on both the wonder and the magic. I just find the wonder has it a little bit over because of Tiana's. I really love what they did with that Tiana's theming throughout the that area. So I had to go there for sure.
Yeah, you would never know that the classic ships are as old. I hate to see you. That have been in service for as long as they have. And look, to be clear, every ship is amazing, right? I think your least favorite Disney ship is still an incredible cruise. I think it comes down to personal preference and itinerary and travel style and just your own personal vibe. I do want to put, I'm going to put this question in the clubhouse because I'm very curious to hear from you, our friend, to share your rankings in the clubhouse. Or better yet, call the voicemail 407-900-9391 and you could make your argument and I will play it on the air.
You know what I find fascinating though is that both of us put Wish at the very bottom, but both of us are struggling because I put Treasure as my third favorite. And the bones are the same, pretty much, but it's just how it was, how the theming went with it. And I think personally, part of it is that the Treasure's a 7-night sailing and the Wish is a 3 and 4. So you're not on that 7-night sailing. You're not rushing to try to see everything you possibly can. So I think the Wish just kind of feels a little rushed with a lot of people in lines for everything in every direction. Where the Treasure just seems a little bit more calm and relaxed and I don't know.
I would make an argument that the Treasure just feels different. I think that Grand Hall feels so elegant and upscale, and there's a warmth. I don't know how else to describe it. There's a warmth to the Treasure that I feel, and maybe it's because of the color palette of the Wish versus the Treasure that the Wish does not have, right? It's bright whites, it's gold, it's light blues. It's a little stark, and I think some people and certainly prefer that. And that's what I mean. It's your vibe. But I think that those dark blues and the rich golds and the heavy purple textures and like, I think that sort of Aladdin Agrabah vibe sort of fits in more with my vibe. And I think the places and spaces we've talked at length, possibly ad nauseum, about the Haunted Mansion Parlor being, in my opinion, the single greatest place-making storytelling space that Imagineering has ever done. And I won't even qualify it. I think it's that good.
Yeah. And I would love to revisit this question after we have a chance to be on the Destiny and the Adventure, because the Adventure is almost twice as big as any other of the Disney cruise ships, and definitely more than twice as large as the Magic or the Wonder. So I'm really going to be interested in seeing how we rank all of those once we experience them.
I wasn't planning on doing this here, but I'm going to, because we're talking about the Destiny, and based on when we are recording this, I haven't shared this publicly yet. Becky, I have told you, but speaking of the Destiny, which does not, its maiden voyage is not for a few months. Its maiden voyage is in November, but this Wednesday, August 6th, I was invited by Disney to head out to the shipyard in Papenburg, Germany, to get a sneak peek and hard hat tour and some interview opportunities of the Disney Destiny. And I want to take you with me. We're going to go to Amsterdam. We're going to stay in Amsterdam, and we're going to head on over to Papenburg for an incredible opportunity and experience that I am so very grateful for. And it's because of you, our friend who's sitting here, that made this happen. But I am, and Becky, based on this conversation, what we know about the Destiny, to be able to see it and to see it, you know, possibly, you know, in some finished and unfinished stages and talk to some of the folks about the design and the vision for the Destiny, I am very, 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 very excited for. So this list might very much change in a couple of months.
I can imagine. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you for this opportunity. I was lucky enough to do a hard hat for another cruise line, and it was one of the most amazing, insightful, cool experiences I've ever had. So I can't wait to hear how you experience this and all the cool things you can hopefully come back and tell us, because, you know, well, then again, just don't sign anything.
Right. I will be able to come back and share stuff on the podcast. I'm going to share what I can primarily on Instagram. So if you're not already, I hate the word following. If we're not friends on Instagram, let's connect and chat over there. I am at Lou Mangello. I'll be sharing a lot on my Instagram stories and reels, so turn on notifications so you don't miss a thing, because if I can go live, maybe I'll go live on Instagram as well.
Ooh, so cool.
Yeah, and that starts this Wednesday, August 6th. And now I've got to go from, I have to change dressing for Florida to dressing for Amsterdam, which I don't even know what that means. But all right, let's move on, because Ashley Mall has a question, and it's, oh, now I get it. It's the story behind the shoes in imagination. Now the light bulb, just my light bulb, little spark just went off. Hey, Lou, I'm listening to your most recent podcast about the top 10 things we love in Adventureland. And your conversation about a box, sometimes just being a box, made me think about a detail in Journey to Imagination that's always bothered me. When you first start off the ride, enter the Institute. You go past the computer room, and outside are a pair of sneakers with a spotlight on them. Every time we go on the ride, I can't help but think they must be important or pay homage to someone because of the special attention. So what's the deal, man? What's the story here? Is a shoe only a shoe? Thank you for always bringing joy to my kids and I during our car rides to school. Becky, I'll take this one. First of all, Ashley, thank you. I love that you, and I appreciate that you play the podcast with your kids on your car rides to school. I'm assuming that you're not driving your kids to college and that your kids are actually of non-driving age. It's why the show has been, always will be, family friendly, G-rated, because I want you to be able to enjoy that together and know with complete safety and security that you can always play every episode in front of and with, and hopefully share it with your kids. So with that, you nailed it, Ashley. The sneakers are in fact intentional. The box always being a box. Very quickly, when I was researching my audio tours for Walt Disney World, the first one I did was Main Street USA, and under the train station, there were some shelves, and there was a suitcase there with the initials R.L. Nicholas on it. Becky, the researcher, the completist in me, went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs trying to figure out who or what R.L. Nicholas was. I read every single book. I asked everybody I could talk to. Some cast members were like, dude, just go ride the rides, man. I have no idea what you're talking about. And then finally had the opportunity to talk to the person, the one person who would know the answer. I talked to Dave Smith, from the founder of the Walt Disney Archives. I'm like, this is it. Like, this is your chance. It's like getting a chance to talk to Elvis. Like, you got to get it. You ask him the one question. I mean, we had a whole interview, but it's fine. And I said, Dave, I've got to ask you this because it's been bothering me for basically years that I cannot figure out this. It's like doing a puzzle, Becky, and you can't find the last piece to put in it, so it doesn't feel complete. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, and he said, he sort of shifts in his seat. He says, you know, Lou, and I lean in like a schoolgirl. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, sometimes a box is just a box. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, sometimes you just go to garage sales or we, get, bulk stuff and it just fit into the time period and we put it up there. And so I was satisfied with that. However, on the opposite side of the coin, most things are not. Everything has a story. Most things, like the sneakers, are intentional and they do mean something. And in this case, it means the computer wore tennis shoes. Figuratively, it is from the film A Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. So if you're in the Imagination Institute, there is a computer room door and there is a sign. I think it says like no tennis shoes allowed. And underneath it is a pair of red high top sneakers. And if you look inside the room, there's a Medfield College jacket hanging there because this is a reference to the computer wore tennis shoes from 1969, starring, yes, Kurt Russell as Becky Dexter Riley, who attends sure. Medfield College. So this ties into, believe it or not, there is sort of a Medfield-verse. Like, there is a Medfield universe that's seen in Disney live-action comedies, not just the computer wore tennis shoes. It's also referenced in The Absent-Minded Professor and Flubber, and there was one more. Now You See Him, Now You Don't, that are all set in or around Medfield College. And if you look in the queue, you'll see some other references as well. There's Dean Higgins and some other folks who are some Medfield alumni. And you also see like Professor Brainerd from Flubber and Wayne Szalinski from Honey, I Shrunk the Audience and Dean Finder, which is a reference obviously to Dream Finder. So
I am so glad you're a nerd for all of this. Like half of us are going, huh? Okay, that's cool. So thank you.
Yeah, because sometimes a shoe is not just a shoe. And I love, love, love that they don't put a plaque saying this is a tribute, that if you know it, you know it, and it puts a little smile on your face. And if you don't, now you do, and now you can pay that forward, hopefully to somebody else, so that when they see it, they have that aha moment, and then they pay that forward as well.
Easter eggs are so fun in Disney. It's one of the best things.
I'm a complete nerd. I know. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. All right. Gosh, I have so many more. All right. You know what? We're gonna. I have a surprise. I told you I had a surprise for you.
No, we can do other things. It's fine.
Dare I say it's a new twist, ready. Right? Mm-hmm. Just we're gonna do this for this is a bit of an experiment. I thought about this today. This was a very last minute type of thing.
Fantastic. Uh-huh.
But this is actually something that you've heard before. This was inspired by something that I've done a couple times on the Wednesday night live video shows that I do on Facebook and YouTube at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. But Becky, this is going to be, there's wrong answers, but there's no wrong answers. Great. So there's no pressure. This is, would you rather? These aren't easy. These are would you rathers. I'm going to throw a series of rapid fire, would you rather Disney travel and questions at you. No thinking, just like your gut answer. Right. And we'll try and do we'll do 10 super quick ones. You'll answer. I'll answer. It'll be fun or it'll be stupid and I'll cut it out and nobody will ever hear this. But either way, let's give it a shot.
Okay, good. There's a chance. You're saying there's a chance. No one will hear this.
Awesome. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly.
All right. Here we go. Rapid fires. Don't think. No research. Would you rather visit Walt Disney World during the Halloween season or Christmas season every year?
Christmas.
Very quickly. Why?
Oh, now I have to justify it? You were just like, it's rapid fire. We got to go fast. What the heck are you doing? You are changing the rules as we go. I know. This is not right.
Okay.
I love Christmas. I just personally really, really love Christmas. The funny thing is I would do probably, if you split them, I would do Halloween in Disneyland and I would do Christmas in Disney World. There you go.
Disneyland does Halloween so boogie boogie.
Awesome.
Gosh, boogie boogie, looking at you. Amazing. I love Halloween, but I would probably say Christmas too. You got the music, you got the decorations, mm-hmm. You got the feels, you got the weather, boom.
Okay. And the frozen hot chocolate.
Or as my son would say, this is going back many, many years, unlimited hot chocolate. Yeah. People still meet him and they go, Nicholas, and they say that to him. And yeah, but all right. Would you rather be the first person to ride a new attraction or the last one to ride before it closes forever?
The last one. I think I would like to be the last one before it closes forever. Just I don't know why. I can't justify that. It just feels better. I don't know.
Is it the badge of honor? You're like, I was the last person to ever ride.
I would actually say it as in, I was the last person to ever, not as the Queen of England. However, I don't know. Maybe it's just the nostalgia piece in me that I would, I think I'd rather be the last person.
I'm
much
with you.
Like one of our badges of honor was being the last group besides executives that ever did the Adventures Club.
Yeah.
So, and I love that fact. So, yeah, last one. You?
I'm with you. I never worry about being first, whether it's a new attraction, a new restaurant, especially for things like restaurants. If you notice, when a new restaurant opens, I've been in the restaurant business before, so I understand. I never review it right away because I want to give them, it's not fair. I want to give them the opportunity to work out the kinks, sort of get their rhythm, like get the kitchen and the front of the house and the back of the house all working together. So
that's one of the things like when we counsel clients on if they're going to go on the very first few sailings of a ship or go to a hotel, right? When it first, if you are picky and you want everything perfect, don't go during
that. Set your expectations accordingly.
Exactly. You're going to have wet paint and you're going to have issues and there's problems. That's why they call them shakedowns because they have to shake the trees and get all the stuff out.
Okay, now we're gonna speed this up. We're gonna make our we're gonna make our would you rather rapid fire a little bit more.
You're
rapid.
The one that changed the rules, but go ahead.
I know. I'm just having fun. it's not like I'm gonna run out of tape. Like this is stop recording.
Truth.
Listen, I'm going back to my old DJ days. Whatever. Would you rather spend a day with Joe Rohde in Disney's Animal Kingdom or ride attractions with Josh tomorrow?
Oh, that's Sophie's choice right there. That's a problem.
it's dramatic, but
okay. Well, I mean, I guess there's I could argue either way. All right, if I had
that's
to
the whole
one,
point. The point is, we know you can argue either way. That's why they're difficult.
Fine. I'm just making it a real world example as to how hard this is. I'm going to go with Josh. I'm going to ride with Josh. I think. Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to spend a day with Joe Rohde. I think, and look, I love Josh. Like, I love Josh. My width and depth of love for Josh tomorrow goes very far.
You know what? But I know why. I know why I would do that, because I would love to watch him as he walks through the parks and deals with cast members and deals with people, because he is one of the most amazing, natural, charming individuals, and he cares about people. And that just warms my heart seeing that. So,
so you're saying Joe Rohde doesn't care? Is that what you're saying?
No, I did not say that. Becky, I did Hankin not say Mouse that.
Man. Okay. Wow. Would you let's stay in the same vein?
Okay.
I'm going to use real world ish examples. Not that none of these things are ever going to happen. Would you rather have lunch with Bob Iger to pitch your own like attraction idea, or dinner with Kevin Feige to pitch your own Marvel concept?
What if I don't want to pitch anything? I just want to like have dinner.
You can do whatever you want.
Guys.
Lunch with Iger or dinner with Feige?
Oh, that's really bad, because both would be amazing. You know, I'm going to go with Feige. I'm definitely going to go with Feige. I think that the conversation would be, but with either of them, it would be amazingly inspirational, and you would learn so much from them. But I think I'd go with Feige. So, you know, if Iger, if you're listening, you know, this is your chance to call me and we go out to lunch just to prove me wrong.
I'm not going to.
You have to answer.
I'm going to say Bob Iger, but it's not for the reason. I can't. It would be Bob Iger. I would like to have lunch with Bob Iger. Okay. Would you rather?
So what's awesome about this is that we've chosen two different people at two different times. So if ever a time there's not, you know, you got a conflict in the schedule, we can divide and conquer and we're fine.
Please understand what I mean by this. And this is not meant to sound like a name drop. Like, I agree with you about Kevin Feige, because I have had the opportunity to share, like, to break bread with Kevin Feige before. And he is the nicest, most human, unassuming. You would never know that the man runs Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Because he is the most down-to-earth.
Such a man. It's like, such a nice man.
Oh, the most down-to-earth, like, human that is so humble. And there is nothing pretentious about him. And I'm not saying that, you know, there is about, you know, Bob Iger too. But I have never, you know, I've met Bob a number of times before. I've spoken to him in different situations. But to be able to sit down one-on-one, mano a mano, and share a lunch. Bob, you going to finish that? Would be.
Well, all of them would be amazing. So yeah. these are really difficult choices.
Okay, we're going to go fast. Some of these. Would you rather stay at the Polynesian or Grand Floridian for a week?
Polynesian, without hesitation.
I will agree. I agree. I'll stay at the Poly. Okay, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about here. Would you rather watch Mars Needs Moms or John Carter from Mars?
Well, since I've seen Mars Needs Moms, I'm going to go with the John Carter, because I guess I need to see something I haven't seen yet.
I don't even know. I'll say John Carter from Mars. Would you rather have a Gideon's cookie or an Everglaze donut?
Donut.
Oh, look how donut. Quickly you snapped.
Yes.
Calm that's, down that's, over there.
That's
donut. What donut?
Any of them? I like cream-filled donuts, so one of those maybe.
If you're sleeping on the ube donut or the blueberry cake donut at Everglaze, you're possibly doing it wrong. However,
the blueberry one was really good.
However, you get the after dark, dark chocolate crumb cake cookie at Gideon's. and you get that peanut butter cold brew. Good golly, Miss Molly, that's a party right there.
Now, if Gideon's came up with an oatmeal raisin cookie, then they're that always, might be harder. I've never
Steve
seen
is always coming up with new kinds of.
Yeah, I haven't seen one yet when I've been there, so I've kind of gone, if you don't, that's my favorite cookie on the planet is oatmeal raisin. And they don't have them, haven't had them anyway when I've been there. So easy to go to a donut.
All right, I have two last quick ones, so we'll do 10. Which one do I want to be the last one? Okay, if they were real restaurants, would you rather eat at Remy's or Tiana's?
French or Creole is what we're looking at. I would probably Remy's for me.
Oh my God.
What?
I mean, I said that there was no wrong answers. However, that is the wrong. How do you not eat at Tiana's? I mean, you can do it in the park and it's lovely. Get the gumbo. But, oh yeah, this is a no-brainer.
I don't like gumbo. I'm not
all they have.
See, that was the thing I was going for, is the style of food. So I probably would like French better.
I did. Come on, man. I love me some New Orleans, which we need to go back to. Add that to the list of things we need to talk about. New Orleans food. I dig the music. I dig the vibe. I dig the people. I dig everything about it. Give me a gumbo. Give me some beignets. Give me some jambalaya.
No, if it was
I am beignets, down like there's nobody.
That's also another thing.
When I was in Disneyland, how did I not get the hot honey chicken on beignet when I was there? I need to go back and just do nothing but eat.
It's almost what you do every single time, but it's your choices. It's
all like, right, last one. This is the final one. This is
more cozy cone. Bring me a cozy cone.
Maybe this time you won't eat all the Fritos off the top of it. Whatever. Last one. Like, would you rather? Would you rather experience Walt Disney World in 1971 or go forward in time to see what it's like in 2050?
Forward. Not a hesitation. I would love to see what it would be like in the future. I like to see things grow and expand and move forward. So forward for me.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to see what 2050 looks like just in general, certainly in Walt Disney World, especially with what we see, just how quickly the technology is progressing and hearing what the vision is for the parks and Imagineering. You know, we hear it from Bob Iger. We heard it from Bruce Vaughn. And God, I wish I had time to do 500 more questions with them about that. But as RCA would say, here's to the future and you, Walt Disney World, here's to the future and you, my friend, who is continuing to please send in your questions, lou@wwradio.com. We can talk about this over in the clubhouse. Come be part of the community conversation over at wwradio.com/clubhouse. And hopefully you are both hungry and excited to go visit a Disney park, whether it's Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disneyland Paris, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Tokyo Disney Sea. You need to go to all of them because you're on that side of the planet anyway. Or if you're going up to Aulani or anywhere on this big, blue, amazing planet of ours, go to Becky and my friends over at mousefantravel.com. Becky, any last thoughts or final words?
This was kind of fun. It's been a while since we had a chance to
Why do you have to say kind of? Why can't you be like, this was fun? Just let me have it. Just give me that little gift.
This
saying,
was so much fun. Whatever. This was amazingly fun. We need to do it again. We need to do it more often because, you know, the pent-up demand of all the things that I need to rouse you about is, you know, it gets a little tiresome. When
this happens because while we're in Disneyland, Becky, we'll be like standing in line for an attraction, which of course Becky loves, and she'll punch me in the shoulder and be like, hey, we need to do an email show. We haven't done one in like a week.
Yeah. So or a month, or like 4 months, a quarter.
Violence is never the answer. I've told you this. Violence,
but it works. Look, we're recording. Hey.
Wow. Anything else that you had?
Just the fact, again, have a great time in Germany. Come back and tell us everything that you can about what's going on with the Destiny. Looking so forward to that. And we have to talk because we have a list of things that we need to decide on for our next adventures. I'm looking so forward to that. And if anybody, of course, wants to come along with us or, like you said, have your own adventure, we're always happy to help. My team is amazing, and we would love the opportunity to help you make dreams come true.
And do we still, we are our, actually our next, is our next, well, one of our next adventures is taking us on the Destiny for a WWE group trip in February 2026. Is there still room available? Question mark?
I think there was still availability on the Destiny.
Well, you know what? Go to www.com/destiny26, fill out the free no obligation quote form there, and we will let you know if there is room to join us, because cruising is more fun when you do it with friends. 100%. And really, it's if with us, it's really cruising with the family that you love, not just the family that you tolerate. So, Becky, cruising, thank you so very much for being here and all of your insight. Thank you, my friend, our friend, for sitting around the table and joining us. Becky, if you could snap your fingers and have any one food item from Disneyland just appear in front of you right now, what would it be? Go.
The thing that you didn't let us buy because we were in too much of a hurry, I want a chimichanga. You're like, every part of that sentence, I'm like, you know
every
what?
Part of that sentence is wrong and borderline offensive.
Because... I have to have a cozy. Bring me a cozy cone, and I'm like, you know, a chimichanga would be great. But oh, I'm like, God, sitting here, I'm parched, and I need a cozy cone. It only costs
hey,
you
Becky,
four
I've
Fritos.
Before they only don't. There is no white glove concierge service at the chimichanga cart, which is normally the reason why we don't get it. Looks like we have to go back, but a chimichanga in Disneyland sounds like just the right spirit. I'm starving.
I know. What? We didn't get a churro either. We didn't get a corn dog. We didn't get any of the normal stuff.
I didn't get anything from Maurice's Treats. You know what? Time for our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where you can test your knowledge of Walt Disney World's history, sights, sounds, secrets, and stories. You can test your knowledge, have some fun, and enter using our online forum for a chance to win a Disney prize package. And this week's trivia contest is once again brought to you by my favorite foodie event of the year, which is the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic, happening November 15th and 16th, right in the heart of Walt Disney World. It is an incredible night of world-class food, drinks, live music, and Disney magic under the stars. But this is my favorite part. Your ticket includes unlimited food and beverages with dishes from award-winning chefs, wines, beers, and creative cocktails from around the world, all as you stroll the causeway between the Swan and Dolphin resorts. I'm even more excited this year because of the opening of the new Bourbon Steak restaurant and what Chef Mita is going to bring to the causeway. It really is one of my foodie highlights of the year. And look, if you love Disney food and just having a great time, you are going to love it too. I hope to see you there. Tickets are on sale now, and you can get all the details at swandolphinfoodandwineclassic.com. Now, before we get to this week's question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. Many of my favorite attractions in Walt Disney World and Disneyland use the Omnimover system, like the Haunted Mansion, but your question last week was to tell me what attraction introduced the very first Omnimover system in a Disney park. Thanks to all of you who entered, got this one correct, and knew that it was Adventure Through Inner Space, which opened in Disneyland's Tomorrowland in 1967. This ride system, developed by Imagineering, which allowed the ride vehicles, which are called Atom-mobiles, to move continuously along the track while being able to rotate to control the guest's view. This allowed Imagineers, like directors, to really have full control over what guests see and when, to help really tell very immersive and really more cinematic stories. And obviously this technology is still used in attractions today, like I said, the Haunted Mansion and Spaceship Earth. So I took all the correct entries, randomly selected one, and last week you were playing for a prize package that includes a WWE keychain, stickers, and pin, and I brought back a mystery prize for you from Disneyland. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is David McCormick. So David, congratulations. I will get your prize package out to you right away. And if you played last week and didn't win, that's okay. Put the past behind you, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So I haven't done one of these in a while, but music and audio play such an important part of the Disney parks and attractions. So tell me, where in the world can, or haven't you in the past, heard this?
It's fun.
Ooh,
Yes, sir.
That's it. Tell me where in Walt Disney World you can or in the past have heard that sound clip. You have until Sunday, August 17th, because I'm traveling to Germany to go see the Destiny. I'm going to give you a little bit of extra time to go to www.radio.com, click on this week's podcast, use the form there. Once again, I'm going to play for the keychain, stickers, pin, and because I went shopping again when I was in Disneyland this past week, another mystery prize for you from Disneyland. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and being part of the WW Radio family. I know how important and limited your time is, and the fact that you spend and share it with me means more than you know. I am so incredibly grateful to and for you. Hope that you found a little bit of magic in this week's show. Hope you feel better because of it. And if you do, please help spread the word, share the show, and tell a friend. Don't forget to connect and chat with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to turn on notifications. I'll be sharing a lot from my trip to Amsterdam and Papenburg, Germany, to go see the Disney Destiny starting on Wednesday, August 6th. But in the meantime, remember to be kind, choose the good, be the good, have a great day, and even better tomorrow. So until next time, I love and appreciate you. See ya.
Well, it sounds pretty good. In fact, that's just the right spirit.